and feel the presence of God within us. Let us feel ourselves filled with His light, as indeed we are. Surrounded by that light, as indeed we are. Because it is from this light, this intelligence which is within each of us, and in the universal consciousness, that all worlds, all universes were formed. Let us feel ourselves one with that. Let us forget that we are the body, but think rather that we are the infinite spirit, that truly we are like Christ when He said, I and my Father are one. Now let us pray to the Lord. O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Blessed Master,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical,
mental,
and spiritual perfection.
And spiritual perfection.
Make my mind thy altar.
Make my mind thy altar.
Make my heart thy home.
Make my heart thy home.
Make thy love flow through me to all peoples everywhere, because they are all thy children.
Make thy love flow through me to all peoples everywhere, for they are thy children.
O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
may thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever
upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.
I would like to review with you this evening Master's beautiful prayer at dawn. I would like you to concentrate on it and really feel everything that he has said in these exquisite words. With the opening of the earliest dawn and the lotus buds, my soul softly opens in prayer to receive thy light. Bathe each petal of my mind with thy radiant rays. I saturate myself with the perfume of thy presence, and I wait to waft with the breeze the aroma of thy message of love to all. Bless me that with the spreading dawn I may spread thy love everywhere. Bless me that with the awakening dawn I may awaken all souls with my own and bring them to thee. This is so very, very beautiful. And if we would make a habit of saying this every morning as we arise from our bed and try to follow through on it, I'm sure that our lives would change very greatly in a very short time. Our Bible chapter tonight is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now charity has been taken in many different ways. We think of charity as giving to the poor many times. Or we think of charity as being given to us, things, money, service. But charity is more than that. The true meaning of the word charity is love. There is nothing in this whole wide world that is going to cure all of the ills of the world except just love. Not just human love, but divine love. We've been away from each other now for several months, which was not our intention in the beginning. But everything happens in accordance with God's will, and all things must be done in accordance with His direction. I was thinking today that Papa never permitted anyone to stay at the ashram very long, except for the skeleton crew that he kept on hand at all times to take care of the needs of the ashram and of the visitors who came. Because it was his idea and his firm belief that all of the chivas, the devotees of God, should come and learn and hear the truth from the Master's lips, and then go out in the world and live that truth. Now, we've all had ample opportunity to do exactly that. We came together for many months, and I taught of the truth which God gave me to you. Each of us must go within ourselves and examine ourselves to see what we have done with this truth which was taught during the months which we have been apart. Are we proud of the progress that we have made? Have we been faithful in our daily meditations? Have we practiced brotherly love? Have we forgiven others as we would like to be forgiven? Have we lived up to the highest of that which we, each of us, are capable of living up to? These are the questions which we must ask ourselves. Because the time apart is the time of testing. It is very easy to come week after week and listen to the truth because it keeps you inspired. It is a little easier perhaps to stay on the path. But it is most difficult to stay on the path when you do not have that constant inspiration from without. But this is also God's plan. Because you see, He is to be found not only without, but within, because He is everywhere equally present. In every human being, in everything, animate and inanimate, in every atom of space is that infinite intelligence and love, which we must realize that we are an integral part of it. Don't you realize that when you say, I, meaning God, that the universal I and the individual I are not different, because it is this infinite spirit which created all the worlds, all of the universe, all the universes which also created each and every one of us. It is He who sustains us. It is His intelligence which gives us that wisdom to carry forth each day of our lives, everything that we do. It is His power, His energy, which flows through us, through each of us. In truth, we are nothing. It is our Father who doeth the works. And yet, strangely enough, we can say like Christ, He who has seen me has seen the Father. Now, in the human sense, this is almost impossible for us to accept. Some people think it is sacrilegious to say that we are one with God. But what did Christ come for? Why did He go through everything that He went through for our sake if it was not to be the example which we ourselves must follow in every single detail? We have lost the truth down the centuries. We have lost the true mysticism, the true meaning of the Christ, because in truth He dwells within us. He is our very self. It isn't this little ego that we associate with the body, but it is this spark of life, this energy, this great feeling of love that pours forth from us at times. In truth, all men are our brothers, be they murderers, thieves, presidents, ditch diggers. It makes no difference what they are our brothers, because they are all the separate cells of God's body. And there is none in this whole wide world but He who created every single living thing. And when we start out, if we are going to accomplish anything and become masters, before in truth this is our purpose, He who will not pick up His cross and follow me cannot be my disciple, said the Christ. And this means to emulate Him in every single detail in order that we too may be exactly like He is, one with our Father, masters of ourselves, of the universe, of the earth, of all that we survey. Not that we want power, but that we want oneness with God. And yet the very thing that we want so much, some of us, is a thing that we have always had. We cannot escape from it. We go everywhere searching for this, only one day to find that all the time it was within us. Oh, my Lord, here I discover the church that I was seeking is my own body, the temple of the living God. He whom I was seeking is within me. In fact, He is my very self. Now, the masters of the East teach us to meditate in two ways. Some teach us to focus the attention at the point between the eyebrows, which is the Christ center. And this is wonderful to do this, because you see the vision of light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, let thine eye be single, and thine whole body shall be filled with light. And others teach to focus the attention on the heart. One gives you wisdom, and the other gives you feeling. It is said that God resides in the heart. And in truth, He does. But He is that infinite intelligence. And so in everything that you want to do, everything that you attempt to do, feel your oneness with Him. Know that in truth you do nothing. Resign yourself, surrender yourself, relax, and let go and let God. Stop worrying. What good does your worrying do? Every time you start to worry about something, you are building a power that is not good, and that which you worry about will return to you in kind. because of the power of your mind. You have a powerful mind. Sometimes you say, but I've gone down into a valley. I'm going into a dry spot. I've gone as far as I can go. Maybe this is true, but you never went any of the way at any time. It was God within you who took you every inch of the way. It is He who took you down into the valley. It is He who took you up into the mountaintop. It is He who made you laugh. It is He who made you cry. It is He who made you suffer, and it is He who gave you peace. And you are all of these things, all of them. But in the beginning, in this mundane world, and with our ideas being what they are, and with the world around us, we see nothing but chaos, nothing but trouble, nothing but wars. And it tells about these things in the Bible. But it isn't speaking of these outer wars so much as it is the inner war, nation against nation, which is also within yourself, brother against brother, which is also within yourself, sister against sister, which is also within yourself. All of the judges and the prophets and the psalm singers, all of the charlatans, all of the heretics, the infidels, everything is within yourself. And there are tremendous earthquakes and upheavals and tremendous wars that go on within your own consciousness. Because these are the cities that you have built through your own processes. The children that you live with inside, that you have peopled this kingdom with, are your own thought children, which you yourself have created. If they are not good, look to yourself. Don't look outside of yourself, but look to yourself. Because inasmuch as you built them, you created them, only you can destroy the hold which they have taken over you. There will be famine and pestilence and earthquakes. There will be floods. There will be all of these things, but first these things happen within yourself before the end of the world comes. But it tells the end is not yet. First you must go through a great deal more of sorrow and suffering. And it tells you that he who is on the housetop, let him not go back down into the house. In other words, if you are in the mountain of your own being when this happens, meditating upon God, as Christ did time after time, he went up into the mountain to pray, up into the mountain of his own being. Go not down and get involved in these wars, but rather, if you must, then kill your relatives and your enemies. This is not the outer ones that it speaks of, but those that you have fostered in your bosom and have created within yourself. You must get rid of them, but you'll only do it in one way, and that is to keep your full attention upon God. Set yourself a goal. Realize that you are a part of this center, this infinite light and intelligence, from which every spark of light, of energy, of intelligence, of power in all the world goes forth. Make yourself a part of it. And start the inquiry, who am I? Not this little self, not the body, not the mind, not the emotions, not the personality, the individuality, but who am I with a capital I? And follow that thought until you find God at his source, and you will find that you are not different. Know ye not that ye are gods? It is said that all nature is groaning in travail, waiting for the sons of men to discover that they are the sons of God. And so it is. So it is. We think we have reached an impasse, that we have learned as much as we can learn. But what is it that wants more knowledge? Is it not the mind that can never be satiated, that can never be satisfied, that can never be fulfilled? It constantly wants something new to dwell upon, new entertainment, new knowledge. Now, all of these things are God, in one sense, in the sense of duality, the sense of his creation. But are these the things truly we want? Or do we want to see him face to face? Do we want to feel his presence? the bliss of that presence, the eternal knowledge that we are wrapped close and warm and protected and safe in the arms of our Heavenly Father. That no matter what food He places before us for the day, and I speak not of the food which we put in our mouths, but the food of the Spirit, whether it be joy or sorrow, that we are able to take this and grow strong and count our blessings for it. Because the more He pours upon us, sometimes in suffering, the greater is the reward. The more we suffer, the greater the purification. The thing that we have not learned to do is to surrender everything we have and everything we are to God. It is like Christ said to the rich man who wanted to know what he could do to follow Him. He said, "Give all of your wealth to the poor and follow Me." But the rich young man was very poor indeed, poor in the spirit, because he could not give up his human wealth, his worldly wealth, in order that he might get the greater wealth of the divine, of heaven within himself. And he was poor indeed. It matters not what you have. It only matters whether it possesses you, whether you are attached to it. Because everything that you get, everything that you do, everything that you are, comes from God. We do nothing of ourselves. We know this. Nothing at all. Instead of thinking I have come to the end, say I am at the beginning. And no matter how long it takes, Lord, my will is Thy will. Thy will is my will. And with this indomitable will, which is the will which created the universes, with the power which created it, with the intelligence and the love, I will go forward, and nothing will daunt me. I will not look for results, but every moment of my life, I will listen for Thy direction, and I will serve Thee with all of the love, the devotion, the worship, the adoration in my soul. What difference does it make if I get results that I can see or the world can see? It is only important, Lord, that You know that I do my best to become one with Thee. If we did this always in complete and total surrender, there would be no hills and valleys, because everything we know comes to us because it is for our highest good. In the human sense, it is sometimes terrible, but the human must suffer in order that the divine within each man be born. This is definitely a must. This purification must take place. And how do we waste our time? Through gossip, through fighting, through quarreling, through thinking all of the negative thoughts. Everything that we see in papers and books and magazines, everything we hear on the street, everything that is talked about today is mostly negative. And yet we expect good to come to us. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. And if you want this good to come to you, to become a part of your daily life, then you have to give out that good every moment of your life. Who is it? What is it that gets hurt except this little tiny ego, which must go? We are like Mary and Martha, you know, but mostly like Martha. Because constantly we are busy with the things of the world. Very seldom is it that we sit at the feet of the Christ within us and be silent and still and meditate upon Him and feel our oneness with Him. And yet Christ denied everything that Martha had said as being not nearly as worthwhile as that one good deed of Mary, as she sat and served Him at His feet, as she anointed Him. This is the thing that we must learn to do. America is too active. We are reverting to the days of Rome in its most decadent stages. And we will pay the full penalty, each and every one of us, and as a nation, if we don't stop. And the start has to be made within each single individual. And now, find your own light. Never mind what the other fellow thinks about you. It isn't important. It is only what God thinks about you that is important. If the whole world be against you and God be with you, this is the only important thing in the world. And remember that Christ was persecuted and reviled. This is a part of the way of the cross and the Christ. And regardless of what name you put on your religion, it is the religion of man everywhere. Every single man, regardless of whether he calls himself a Mohammedan, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Jew, a Catholic, a Protestant, I don't care what he calls himself, a man is a man, and he has the infinite spirit within him, and there is only one way to go to God, and that is by the way of the spine, and to find this eternal consciousness within yourself and your heart. The way is exactly the same for every man, regardless of race, color, or creed. If a man is blind, say he be white, and a black man came and held out his hand and said, "How are you, my friend?" Could he tell the color of his skin? No, he could not. We have come to separate ourselves too much. We must know that God resides every place. And as this terrible battle takes place within ourselves, welcome it and hang on to God. Never mind bemoaning your fate. Occasionally, you break down and you cry a little through nervous tension. But, like I told God once, I don't mind how much you pour on me, God, but also once in a while you don't mind if I cry a little because it hurts so much. Because it doesn't really matter as long as we reach our goal. And that goal is not name, nor fame, nor money, nor earthly, nor worldly things, but the divine within us. And when we once have that, we have dominion over all the kingdoms of heaven and earth. But remember this, that when this end of the world comes, it means the end of the worldly consciousness within you. The world, in fact, in reality, ceases to exist as it has before for you. And you go forth into a new life. You are a new creature in Christ, and your vile body is gone. This old world has disappeared. And as it is within each individual, so it manifests without. And with this end of the world that comes, terrible things may happen and probably will. But this doesn't mean that the whole world, the whole universe is going to fold up. Not now. Eventually, when all men are enlightened and it will be absorbed in a ball of fire in the bosom of God, as the Hindus tell us. But it means that after this great holocaust, that there will be an enlightenment because people will have suffered so much they will know that war doesn't pay, that they must not use weapons to destroy themselves, but they must use this power for good, for God. And they will let go of the world, and it will be the end of the world in that way. But those of his children who are left will go forth to bring and to build a new world. A new world which is completely different than anything we even dream of now. And if we will, we can be the forerunners of this new race. In fact, we are, because we are here to worship God in a way that is not orthodox, but in a way that is real. Because we are doing what the Christ taught us, to go within, because only there is found God and his kingdom, and nowhere else. Find it within yourself. Make your light so shine that you shall be a beacon to all men. But before you can do this, you've got to become that. You've got to learn to control your tongue. And until you learn to control your thoughts, you can't learn to control your tongue. So you must start at the beginning. Watch your thoughts. There's only one way to do this, to get away from their hold over you, this habit pattern of just the thoughts pouring forth and the tongue voicing everything it thinks of every emotion that comes into it, and that is to focus the full attention upon God. Because as long as you focus it upon the things that you want to get rid of, you give power to them, and they will war with you, and they will bother you. Resist not evil. Leave it alone. And fix your mind on God alone. Only that. Lord, let my attention be forever fixed upon thee. Let me love thee. Let me serve thee. Let me worship thee alone. Thou art all and all in all. Let us make our lives count for something. None of us are getting any younger. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. You still have a chance. Remember that even in the Bible it tells of the old patriarchs and the old prophets living far over 100 years. And yet, because we say that one of the members of our particular inherited group is several hundred years old, everybody raises their eyebrows and thinks they're crazy, but it isn't so. It says so in here. It is because they learn to live properly. They learn to have power of life over death, because death is the last enemy that must be conquered. You must take him in your arms and overcome him, and then come back and be above the law so that you can help all other men to do that also. But you're not going to do it as long as you think of your little petty selves and all of your problems. These problems exist only in your mind, and you create them yourself. Every single one of us do this. Until we find that truly we are the author of our own destiny. And it was God in us who put us through all of these things in order that he might bring us to the glory of his own image, of his own self. And when the day comes when you feel this oneness with God, this bliss of God, when you are lifted up and you feel his light, what do all of these things matter? Give to God the best of what you have. Get out and do something. Stop being lethargic. But first of all, start your day with a prayer. The opening of the dawn and the earliest lotus buds, my soul softly opens in prayer to receive thy light. How many do that every day of their lives? And how many people carry that through with them? And no matter what comes to them, how many realize that the form that stands before them, maybe giving them what for, is also God in that form, testing them, teaching them patience, tolerance, understanding? They are the ones that are meeting the test. Not the ones that are being criticized, but they. How have we measured up, O Lord? How have I this day measured up? The test that you brought before me, the people who came before me, they were none other than yourself, the Christ in that form. Did I recognize him, or did I pass him by? Did I think he was my enemy? Did I feel hurt, or did I rejoice that this challenge came to me and I felt the strength and the power of overcoming within myself? And even though I couldn't understand the meaning of that test at that time, still I accept it, Lord, because I know in thy own good time thou shalt reveal it to me. If in all things we would do this, if in all of these things we would serve one another with love, with understanding, not with criticism. But hate begets hate, and it builds like a festering sore, a festering boil, until it erupts just like this war all over. We have given hate. We have given negative thoughts out. We have planted these seeds, and they are the tares of the devil, and the harvest is with us. But we can change that individually and universally if we will, and we must. If ever there is a time that this is needed, this is it. And each one of us must be a Christian soldier of God. It doesn't matter if you say you follow the Christ or if you follow the Buddha, who is the perfect one, the infinite intelligence, Mohammedan, or Mohammed, I should say, Zoroaster, Confucius. It matters not. Abraham. Are they any of them different in the things that they teach? Do they not teach us all to follow the moral laws? Do they not all try to teach us that the Spirit of God is within us? That we must kneel down and worship Him? There is a tremendous little tiny thing in the Vision magazine not long ago where it said, as long as a man has a body, he must work, because even the mud brings forth bubbles all the time. And in order to justify the existence, some act of service must be done. And Jesus said, he who would be greatest among you must be the servant of all. Be willing to do anything for anybody, no matter how lowly the task, no matter how great. I had a very interesting conversation with somebody the other day, and this individual said, but it seems such a waste of time that you should have to do things, paint and scrub and clean and do all of these things. Your time could be spent to much better advantage. I don't think it's moral to waste your time this way. I said, what do you mean it isn't moral? What is immoral about it? In everything that I'm doing, I'm trying to create beauty in this house which is God's, as what house is not? In everything that I do, I have my attention on Him. And as the things come to destroy the beauty that I try to create, to stand in the progress, I develop my will and I make it that much stronger, and I say, I will do it over if it takes 1,000 times, because my will is God's will and God's will is mine, and we shall win. And it is that way, and you have no idea the fun I've been having with these forces. But it matters not. What is a question of morals? Is it wrong to give of yourself, to do things with your own hands, not to be afraid to soil your fingers and your hands and to create or to do the most menial task if you're doing it with the consciousness of serving God? Of course it is. It's wonderful if somebody can pay to have these things done. But I think they miss a great deal, because personally, I take a tremendous satisfaction in doing these things myself. I love to do them. And I want each thing that I do to be as perfect as possible. And I do it over and over and over again until I get it that way. Is this wasted time? No, it isn't wasted time, because I am trying to be perfect even as my Father in heaven is perfect. It says so. In everything that I think, say, and do. Now I fall, you fall, all of us fall. Because we, unfortunately or fortunately, come in human bodies. And no matter what, we will continue to do these. But it says that Christ fell too. Don't forget this. He fell, and somebody else had to carry his cross, which was his body, his burden. So this is a part of the way of the cross and the crucifixion, the stations of the cross. So when you fall, pick yourself up and get going again. And make up your mind that no matter what the cost, even death itself, that you are going to accomplish your purpose. Because you must. If you have set your mind to get the pearl of great price, which is God realization, don't forget that that full price is the total annihilation of the human ego. Now, this doesn't mean that you become a nothing, but rather that you become for the first time in your life something. Something wonderful and beautiful and magnetic, because the Christ has been born in you. That child has been born within you. Have the courage of your convictions. Don't make yourself a doormat, but also have tolerance and understanding for the other fellow who perhaps is a little bit farther down in the rung of the ladder than you are. Understand that he is or she is where they are supposed to be, and that's the only place they can be. and they can only worship as they are directed to worship within themselves. This is the way God made them. This is where they are on the path. And when they have grown, when their consciousness has expanded to greater heights, then they will rise to those heights. And you show your littleness or your greatness in the way that you handle them. Can you take them in your arms, no matter what they do to you, and love them? Can you take a stranger in your arms and comfort them, and feel that they are your own child? Can you do all of these things because you must? What time we waste, we fritter away in all of the things that amount to nothing, that become as ashes in our mouths. There are pleasures for today, and tomorrow there are sorrows. But the eternal life and love of God we will never lose, because He is the infinite beloved. That is the true marriage with the bridegroom. All else may fail you. All else in the world may cease to love you, but not God within you. Never God within you. That love is there waiting for you, and it is your privilege to lay hold and claim it. Make something of your lives. Stop frittering your time away. Stop worrying. And think positive thoughts, good, beautiful, wonderful thoughts of success, of plenty. Do you know that you can worry yourself into being poor? That you can worry yourself into being sick? It's been proven every single day. There was a man once who said to almost everybody who came along, because he had a vile disposition, "You give me a pain in the neck." And pretty soon he got one. And it was a beauty. And it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And he had it operated on, and had it removed, and he learned a lesson, a pain in the neck. Whatever you say goes forth from you and returns to you in kind. And if you want your life to be wonderful and beautiful and successful and full of all of the good things of your Father's kingdom, and those things, remember, are not the fur coats on your back, not the chickens in the pot, nor the cars in the garage, but these good things of the Father's kingdom are the eternal things of the Spirit of God. If you have those things, all other things will come to you. Even if you even think of something like that, it comes. I don't care what it is. Because if you work in harmony with the law, then it works with you. Don't set yourself apart always judging and criticizing. Every one of us do this. But we must realize and try to perfect ourselves. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? He who is pure in heart will meet God face to face. This is true. I found a wonderful little thing. And I'm going to read to you part of it. It was written by the mother of Sri Aurobindo's ashram in Pondicherry. And I couldn't begin to say it as well as she has. "You who are weary and bruised and beaten down, you who fall, who think perhaps that you are defeated, listen to the voice of a friend. He knows your sorrows. He has shared them. He has suffered like yourselves from the ills of the earth. He has, like you, crossed deserts under the burden of day. He has known hunger and thirst, solitude and abandonment, and most cruel of all, the destitution of the heart. Alas, he has known, too, hours of doubt. He has the experience of errors, failings, flinchings, all kinds of weakness. But he says to you, courage. Hearken to the lesson that, every morning, the rising sun brings to the earth in its first rays. It is a lesson of hope. It is a message of consolation. You who weep, you who suffer, you who tremble, not daring to foresee the term of your ills, the issue of your pains, behold, there is no night without daybreak. When darkness is thickest, dawn is ready. There is no fog that the sun does not dissipate. No cloud that it does not gild, no tear that it does not one day dry, no storm after which its bow of triumph does not lift up its rays, no snow that it does not melt, no winter that it does not change into radiant spring. And for you likewise, there is no affliction that does not bring forth its counterpoise of glory, no distress that cannot be transformed into joy, no defeat that does not turn into victory, no downfall that does not change into an ascension to greater heights, no solitude that does not become a very home of life, no discord that does not resolve into harmony. Sometimes it is the misunderstanding between two minds which obliges two hearts to open themselves for communion. In short, there is no weakness so infinite that it cannot change into power. Even it is in supreme weakness that it pleases the all-powerful to reveal himself. Listen, my little child, who feel yourself so broken, so fallen, who have nothing any more to cover your misery and nourish your pride, yet never before have you been so great. How close is he to the summits, who awakes in the depths, for the deeper the abyss, the more the heights reveal themselves. Know you not this, that the sublimest forces of cosmic extension seek to clothe themselves, the most opaque veils of matter? O splendid nuptials of sovereign love with the obscurest plasticities of the desire of the darkness with the most royal light. If ordeal and fault have flung you down, if you have sunk into an abysm of suffering, do not at all be grieved, for it is there that the divine affection, the supreme benediction, will reach you, because you have passed through a crucible of purifying sorrows, for you are the glorious ascents. You are in the wilderness. Well, listen to the voices of the sounds. The noise of eulogistic words and applause from outside has gladdened your ears, but the voices of the silence will gladden your soul, awakening in you the echo of the depths, the chant of the divine harmony. You are walking in deep night. Well, gather there the priceless treasures of the darkness. Bright sunshine lights up the ways of the intelligence. But in the night with its white luminosities are the hidden roads of perfection, the secret of spiritual riches. You are following the path of denudation. It is the way to plenitude. When you have nothing left, all will be given to you. When you have nothing left in the human, all will be given to you. For those who are sincere and straight, out of the worst emerges always the best. Each grain that one puts in the earth produces 1,000. Each beat of the wing of sorrow can be a sore towards glory. And when the adversary rages against man, all that he does to annihilate him serves only to make him greater. Hearken to the story of the worlds. See the great enemy seems to triumph. He throws into night the creatures of the light, and the night is filled with stars. He wars with a growing rage against the working of the cosmos. He attacks the integrity of the empire of the primal sphere, shatters its harmony, divides it and subdivides it, scatters its dust to the four winds of infinity. And behold, the dust turns into a golden sowing which fertilizes the infinite and peoples it with worlds which will gravitate henceforth in a larger orbit of space around their eternal center. So division itself produces a richer and profounder unity, and multiplying the surfaces of the material universe, aggrandizes the empire which it set out to destroy. Beautiful, doubtless, was the song of the primordial sphere rocked on the bosom of immensity, but how much more beautiful and triumphant is the symphony of the constellations, the music of the spheres, the immense chorale filling the heavens with an eternal hymn of victory. Hearken yet, no state was ever more precarious than that of man, when he was separated on earth from his divine source. Above him spread the hostile frontier of the usurper, and the gates of the horizon watched the jailers armed with flaming swords. Then, since he could climb no more to the source of life, the source sprang up within him. Since he could no longer receive the light from on high, The light shone forth at the very center of his being. Since he could not commune with transcendent love, that love made a holocaust of itself, gave itself as an offering, choosing each terrestrial being, each human ego, as its dwelling place and its sanctuary. That is how, in this matter despised but fertile, desolate but blessed, each atom contains a divine thought. Each being carries in himself the divine inhabitant. And if nothing in all the universe is so frail as man, nothing likewise is so divine as he. Verily, verily, in humiliation is found the cradle of glory. That is tremendous, and it is a fact. So let us forget all of the things that we have been worrying about. Let us forget our little selves and the things that people do to us and say to us. But let us think about God, His great glory and His great love for us, of His infinite storehouse of abundance. Let us not worry about our progress or our lack of it. But let us dedicate ourselves to Him, body, mind, and soul, listening each moment for His direction, and following through in that direction, regardless of the outcome, knowing that all is in accordance with His great plan and His great purpose, and that the day will come when we will see the harvest. Remember that the harvest is great, but the workers are few. We need fishers of men, but we cannot go out and be those fishers of men until we have become that glory ourselves. Our Father, which art in heaven.
Our Father, which art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
In earth as it is in heaven.
In earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses.
And forgive us our trespasses.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation.
And lead us not into temptation.
But deliver us from all evil.
And deliver us from all evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
For thine is the kingdom.
And the glory.
And the glory.
Forever. Amen.
Forever. Amen.
O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
O my Lord,
O my Lord,
let me send forth the glory of thy love.
Let me send forth the glory of thy love.
To all thy children everywhere.
To all thy children everywhere.
Let me see them filled with light.
Let me see them filled with light.
And the bliss of thy presence.
And the bliss of thy presence.
Let thy healing force flow through me.
Let thy healing force flow through me.
So that they may be healed.
So that they may be healed.
Of all things that keep them from knowing thee.
Of all things that keep them from knowing thee.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken all souls with my own.
May I be able to awaken all souls with my own.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.
Oh. the Lord be with you and shine his face upon you and fill you with his love and the bliss of his presence. May you go forth and spread this to all the world. And I most of all, Lord, because I am the humblest and the littlest of all my children, the least among them.